Hey, hey, NIMOS Spring Summit. We're back at the podcast stage. We got everybody recaffeinating right now. We just finished up the first segment of our main stage and learned a whole lot about catalogs. Now we're going to talk about creativity. We're going to talk about how you sort of apply this in a bunch of different ways through our industry that we're dealing with here. And to get us right, I want to make sure I get the last name right. So it's like Nemeth, but Nemeth. Brent Nemeth, Chief Creative Officer at J. Schmidt. Hey, how are you?
Great. Okay, thanks for having me.
You know what I'm going to ask you. Like, we got to detail the bio here. So it says in your bio, your website title is Oh Captain, My Captain. So there's a Dead Poets Society thing
Dead
going
Poets
on there?
Dead Poets Society reference,
okay.
Yes.
And so why?
Oh, man, just one of my favorite movies of all time. Mostly because of just the belief in what great storytelling, literature, narrative can do.
I'm all
for folks,
about
right?
that. Yeah. I run a workshop on storytelling. It's very, very critical. Because the thing is that oftentimes you ask people in a corporate setting, tell me a story, and what they do is they give you a case study.
Exactly.
So, problem, solution, result. So I always say, listen, we can get into Freytag's pyramid and ethos, pathos, and logos, but what I do is I say, just put me in a moment. Like, if you start there, and if I can visualize it, and I can dream a little bit, and we just heard about catalogs, that catalog's going to help you do that.
That's true, and I think you made the point earlier this morning that people tend to remember stories. If you want someone to remember something, which we all want that as a brand, please remember me, tell them a story.
Here's the neuroscience. So the neuroscience is if you tell people data, and a lot of speakers will do that, or a lot of people who are presenting stuff, is they'll just avalanche you with a bunch of numbers, is you're lighting up two language processing areas in the brain. So the Broca's area and the Wernicke's area, so the two little ones. Yeah. But they did a thing where they told people the same data as a story, and they actually then measured it in an MRI, and bam, you can see the whole thing.
Yeah, this is real. It's not just opinion. This is fact, man.
What I tell people is that when you tell a story, when you finish, that's when you've got maximum engagement, and that's where you have to hammer them with the ask, you know, whether that's for the sale or whatever, but that tends to be the place that people are most interested at that length.
Right. Set them up with the story, then hit them with the ask.
Now, let's talk about where you set them up with the story, because you talk about print, and you say that, you know, print is something that we should be paid attention to. Do not sleep on print. So talk a little bit about this. You shared a Harvard Business Review stat with me.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
I'm a huge fan of print. Always have been, always will be, for many reasons. But one of the primary reasons is the fact that I think it's the perfect storytelling vehicle. Why? Because people tend to get more engaged if they're holding it.
Right.
And again, neuroscience has proven this out. If you're touching something, if you're holding something, you feel closer to it. It belongs to you now. So you tend to get more engaged. So if I'm holding a printed piece in my hand, a catalog, for instance, I spend more time with it. I get deeper emotional engagement with it. So it sets itself up perfectly to be a storytelling vehicle. If you've got someone's attention and they're flipping through the pages of your catalog, give them some content that will keep them engaged.
I'm a big fan of creating value everywhere I touch. Like, even my business cards have speaker tips on the back.
Mm.
So people hang on to that sort of stuff. And particularly as we race towards that digital future, there's a currency around print that you can create. And if you're smart about it, people will want to keep. I showed off on stage this morning my Lego catalog, right?
Right.
It is one of two catalogs that I hold on to and I keep.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure you keep it because, A, it's meaningful to you. You know, they're not trying to sell something to you that you're not interested in. But you know, you're a fan.
Right.
And I would assume that you probably hold on to the catalog, but you also interact with that brand digitally. It's not one or the other. It's both. Right.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
You mentioned a Harvard Business Review stat. I think it was like 40%. I'm trying to remember what the actual stat was. Is it coming to your brain?
Stat for what?
For the way print and the way we interact with print.
Yeah. There's several stats out there about the engagement of print. One of them, I believe, is when people receive a catalog in the mail, spend time with it, they're 67, 68% more likely to buy So if you're trying to nudge someone to convince them to buy, chances will increase dramatically if you send them a catalog. They'll also spend more. So if I have a catalog, they'll spend, I believe the stat was 65% more.
Really?
Yeah. So it, these things work.
These
things work, and the research backs it up.
Do you find that this industry has the tolerance for that? Like, is there enough? I don't want to use this the idea that they're too conservative. But do you see there's a conservative sense to this, like iterative, or do you see people going, we're going to try something really big and really new here?
No, I think the nature is to be conservative.
Right.
Human nature, just I don't want to take a risk. Change is hard. I think we all like to think that we're on the cutting edge and we're all doing big, crazy things, but the reality is most brands, most folks want to take the safe route, and therefore I think catalogs have gotten a reputation as a conservative vehicle.
Got it.
Right? But I would argue that most of the brands who are really doing it well, that get noticed, that people point to and say, that's the brand that I think's doing it best, are the ones truly taking risks and doing big things.
Is there anything that stands out for you that you're like, that's kind of neat, that's kind of interesting for me?
Oh, gosh. So many out there. But one that floats to the top for me, one of my favorite brands in general now, but primarily because of the catalog, is the Faherty brand. Faherty. It's a family business, family name, couple of identical twin brothers who started an apparel company years ago. And so it's small family-owned business, but the storytelling, again, that they do in the catalog is very much about the clothes, but it's more than that. It's about this beach surf lifestyle that they grew up with, and their wife, one of the wives is in the business, the mother is in the business, so you feel like you know them. It's, oh my gosh, I love these people first. They just come across as very true and genuine folks you'd like to hang out with.
This kind of triggers something else that you talked about, which is the idea of humanity, which
yes.
ties into storytelling, ties into branding. Why do you think that humanity, that authenticity is so important? What kind of impact is it having?
Well, a lot of that belief, if you read our content on our website or et cetera, man, we really lean into this, the belief that brands need to be more human. Why? Again, based on a study, some research that was done through neuroscience years back, has essentially proven that 90 to 95% of buying decisions that all of us make are driven by emotion. We don't buy based on logic. We think we do, and that's why we, when asked, hey, why did you buy that product? We come up with a logical answer,
sure.
right? And we try to answer it, maybe to make ourselves feel better. Well, I bought it because, it comes in 12 colors, or it's
I
faster.
I needed it. I say it nine times a week. I hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I need it because it's going to do this thing. The fact is, we bought it because we wanted it. We felt drawn to it emotionally. There was something deep inside of us that made us crave it, desire it. That's true for all of us. So if that's the trigger that's driving all of our buying decisions, emotion, doesn't it make sense then to lean into that and the brand behave more like a human, which we're all driven by emotion?
Love that.
Not just a business trying to sell me something.
I talked to somebody recently about associations, like big organizations like Nimoy, and how that if they take the mindset of, I'm running a conference, but I'm here to change the world. I'm here to change something specific, and I'm bringing together a brain trust of people to be able to do
right.
that. You can do some pretty extraordinary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we all tend to be like-minded folks here, and we're all trying to do the same thing. We all have similar beliefs and values. We all understand the value of print and catalog, and we're all trying to just run a business at some level. But the fact that we all sort of share a common ethos is nice.
Lovely. You talked about with this humanity, you talked about kind of this 3D effect, which
yep.
is disrupt, delight, drive.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yep. We have discovered over the years, we at J. Schmidt, we've been in the catalog business for 40 years, and we just sort of have pinpointed things that tend to work. What works in a catalog? And really, we've narrowed it down to those three things. A good catalog, an effective catalog, has to do three things. Disrupt, meaning stand out. There's competition in the mailbox. Not just in the mailbox, but everything out in the world trying to gain our attention, it's tough to cut through.
Yeah.
So if the catalog doesn't get noticed, and this would apply to any marketing piece beyond catalog, but we'll stay on the topic of catalog for now, but disrupt, stand out, get people's attention. It's got to do that before you even open up the thing. So once you grab their attention, the second thing is to delight them. Give me some content that I care about. Give me something that I didn't know. Give me some information that will make my life better in some way. Talk to me on a deeper level. Don't just make it about a transaction. Don't just try to sell me something. So delight me, entertain me, inform me. And then thirdly, and maybe most importantly, is the notion of driving. Okay, now that I've got your attention, now that I've fed you some content that has gained your interest, I want you to do something. We have to tell folks what to do. And usually it's driving them to a website or to a retail store.
This is funny. It's a thing that in marketing that we don't tend to do when we're in what I'll call soft marketing situations. Yeah. A classic one is on a stage, is we forget that, hey, put up a QR code, get an activation. But the micro wins, I call it, based on something called the Didi Row effect. Have you ever heard of this?
I don't know.
Back in the early 1800s, there was a guy by the name of Diderot who lived in Paris, and he was poor, but he had this amazing library. So he sold the library to Catherine the Great for like £1,000, which is, I think, $2.7 billion or something these days, right? And what he does is he goes out and he buys a chair, like a beautiful throne for his house.
Right.
And he loves it. And he looks around the rest of his house and he goes, well, the rest of this place is a dump, right? So he starts buying more things. And the idea there, the analogy is if you can get them to take the first step, you can get them to take the second step.
Yeah, we I love that story. And by the way, you just told a story, which is impactful. I love that. We always say just get them on first base. You don't have to try to hit a home run every time at bat. Just get on first base, man.
Get on first base. I think that's a good way to wrap this up.
Right.
Brent, where can we connect with you to learn more? You're a pretty smart guy.
Well, thank you. And this has been awesome. Thanks for letting me hang out. The best way to reach me is shoot me an email. Brent, N, B-R-E-N-T, N, as in Nemeth, at jschmid.com. J-S-C-H-M-I-D.
Make that connection, my friends. Brent, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate you.
All right, going to be back throughout the day with more great podcast stuff, more great insights, more great nuggets. All right, here we go.